Redeemer. Amen. Okay. Do you have any sayings that you were raised with that keep rolling around in your head and then you find yourself saying them? My mother would always tell me, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Well, the disciples might have been listening to my mother. Jesus and his disciples were in Tyre, Sidon, and Caesarea, way up north. And they're now going south through Galilee. They are on the way, which is a code phrase for their journey to Jerusalem and to the cross. Jesus has worked his last miracle in Galilee, and he's now shifting his focus from working miracles to teaching his disciples. Jesus will not see Galilee again until after his resurrection. It's a poignant scene. We must wonder what Jesus feels as he leaves familiar and welcoming Galilee, where he had so much success, to go to Jerusalem, where he anticipates so much opposition. From chapters 1 through 7, Mark shows the disciples and us how Jesus is the Son of God. I mean, he's done miracle after miracle. Fed thousands, calmed a raging storm, walked on water, cast out demons, raised a girl from the dead, made the blind see, the deaf speak, and cured a bleeding woman. Chapter 8 is a turning point. Now, after showing them, he needs to teach them. William Halsted, a famous surgeon at Johns Hopkins, created the phrase, see one, do one, teach one. This is how doctors have been trained for generations. Little did Halsted know that it was Jesus who first used this way of training. First, he showed the disciples miracle after miracle. Then he sent the disciples to do the miracles for themselves. Then he taught them what the miracles meant. Jesus doesn't want anyone to know he's in Galilee while he teaches his disciples. Now they're in Capernaum in a house in private. He needs them to have his full attention when he tells them that the Son of Man is being handed over to the hand of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, on the third day he will rise again. He's trying to prepare his disciples for this journey's surprise ending. Jesus may be teaching, but the disciples are not getting it. Over and over, they ask a question with more questions. Jesus asks them what they're talking about, as if he didn't already know. What were you arguing among yourselves on the way? Jesus' question brings a hidden subject into the open and provokes an embarrassing silence, making it clear that the disciples knew how inappropriate their conversation was. While Jesus is telling them to expect his betrayal and death, they're thinking about their place in the kingdom. This juxtaposition is jarring. Maybe the disciples, confused by Jesus' talk of death, simply ignored what they couldn't understand and changed the subject to something nearer to their hearts. Or maybe they have caught a glimpse of a terrible future and just can't examine it any further. Whatever the reason, Jesus is met with silence, not once, but twice. You can just feel them squirm as they confess they were arguing about who was the greatest. I mean, after all, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. So they kept silent. Even when Jesus speaks plainly, The disciples still don't understand. There is such a gulf between their expectations and Jesus' predictions. They can't even ask for clarification. They don't want to reveal their ignorance. I mean, they've seen Jesus call Peter Satan for misunderstanding, and they sure don't want to rebuke for asking a question that Jesus might think is foolish. What were the disciples afraid to ask? Well, we can't know with any certainty what they would have said. I mean, Jesus has just announced his impending death. And maybe their question is, why? Why must the Messiah suffer and die? This idea is completely foreign to what Jewish people expected the Messiah to do. The prospect of the Messiah being taken and killed just doesn't compute. When God comes into glory, it's supposed to be to conquer his enemies, not to be handed over to the hands of men who kill him. That Jesus would be killed is very threatening for those closest to Jesus. They must have been thinking, could it happen to them too? So, they are silent. Sometimes we may be tempted to roll our eyes at the disciples. I mean, how clueless can they be? But honestly, they're just like us, or maybe we're just like them. They, like us, are more comfortable with what they know. They, like us, may be afraid to ask questions, to admit when they're wrong, or to look foolish. I mean, no one wants to look uninformed or confused or clueless. But we too withhold our toughest questions, often within our own churches. We pretend we don't have hard questions. Yet the deepest mysteries of life force us to ask questions. Why do good people suffer? Why are humans so brutal to one another? Why does evil succeed? If God's own son is betrayed and killed, is no one safe? Why did God set up a world like this? What questions are you afraid to ask God? What questions do you wish you could ask at church? We'll soon be welcoming confirmands who will challenge us with a lot of questions. How will we respond? Sometimes it's hard to know when to be silent and when to speak. I love my mother. But I don't agree with her saying. Sometimes speaking up, even when it's not nice, is the right thing to do. Sometimes being silent in the presence of evil is complicit with that evil. The good news is that Jesus loves us, even when we don't understand. Jesus loves us, even when we're silent. Jesus loves us, even when we don't know what to say. Jesus loves us when we say the wrong thing. Jesus loves us when we question, when we doubt, when we are fearful, when we struggle with our faith. This is why we are the church, so that we can ask questions, sometimes with answers, sometimes not, but always encouraging and lifting up each other with the love of Jesus. Can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. With all due respect to my mother, speak up. Ask questions. Don't be silent, because Jesus' love will answer you. So, dear church, come to the table. questions and all, and be loved. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Please rise for the hymn of the day.